This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Philip Schauning and myself, Shazana. Last week, Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin said that the government would procure 150,000 treatment packages of a COVID-19 antiviral drug produced by Merck called Molnupiravir.
The drug is being described by many quarters as a game changer in the fight against COVID-19. Based on trials conducted so far, the medication was shown to reduce the risk of hospitalization or death by around 50%. In patients with mild to moderate symptoms of the virus. Now, these patients were not hospitalized, i.e. the cases were not so severe as to require hospitalization and were also at higher risk of severe disease.
So the results have been so encouraging that countries around the world, including Malaysia, have placed orders for the drug before it even goes to market. And for a better understanding of the drug, we speak to Sam Fazeli, Director of Research and Senior Pharmaceuticals Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for joining us today. There's a lot of excitement about Merck's new drug. How does Molnupiravir work and who is it intended for?
So the drug works by introducing errors into the genomic material of the virus as it tries to replicate. So basically, it displaces one of the four letters that are used in the genetic material as it's being built. And that is one that then cannot be used by the virus to produce the normal proteins it requires for its replication. So the more that it creates these mutations, it then results in basically the virus being incapable of copying itself and making a new virus particle. And that creates a catastrophe for the virus and it fails to multiply. Now, obviously, that doesn't happen in every single virus because some of them continue to multiply, and we know that what the drug does is reduce the amount of virus in the patients, not completely get rid of it. And who is it directed at? Well, the trial was done in people within 5 days of having symptoms of COVID. And so they've already been infected, who had at least one or had a higher risk of developing severe disease. So either were over the age of 65 or had obesity or diabetes or cancer, one of these things that is known to predispose people for having a higher risk of developing severe disease.
Sam, has it actually received regulatory approval from any of the key international regulators? And if not, what does the timeline for approval look like?
No, it hasn't. And the timeline for approval, let me put it this way, the timeline for Merck to file the data is sometime in the next couple of months. The question of how long it will take for regulators to approve it, which would probably not be a full approval, would probably be a emergency use authorization to start with. All it depends on the amount of work the regulators need to do in understanding the data. Remember, all we know is what the press release from Merck Pharmaceuticals has said, which is mostly about efficacy and a little bit about side effects, but there are some very important things that need to be looked at in the details of the side effects.
Given that it hasn't been approved yet, is it too early to view this drug as a potential game changer?
Well, the operative word there is potential. All of the small molecule drugs, which are oral, that are in development, so Pfizer has got one, Roche has got one, Shionogi of Japan's got one, another company in the United States called Enanta has got one. They're all potentially game changers, but a lot of that depends on how good the efficacy is. But the side effect profile is critical here, because obviously you're going to be giving it to people who probably either have a higher risk of developing severe disease, but also possibly, hopefully, to people who generally don't have access to vaccines, such as the developing world, in quite high numbers. So you need to be absolutely sure about the safety profile. They can be game changers, especially for countries that currently don't have access to vaccines, but we need to see that risk-benefit profile.
So how does Molnupiravir then stack up against vaccines as a means to control the spread of COVID-19?
Well, vaccines are not treatments, obviously. Vaccines are preventative. And there is absolutely no question in my mind that anybody who has access to vaccines should take the vaccines, if we know that it works for them. This drug should be a backup plan. This drug should be, or these drugs should be used in situations where people don't have access to vaccine, or they're not vaccinated and they catch the virus, or even if they are vaccinated and we think they have a higher risk of developing severe disease despite vaccination, then perhaps they should be treated with the drug. But vaccination is absolutely gold standard in trying to manage the pandemic.
Could you then give us a summary of the different types of drugs being produced or developed at the moment in response to COVID-19? I mean, alongside all these antivirals like the Merck drug.
We have several drugs now from Eli Lilly, from Roche Pharmaceuticals and Gilead Pharmaceuticals, which are used once somebody arrives in the hospital. So dexamethasone or another drug that inhibits a pathway called JAK inhibitors for Eli Lilly, and then, of course, the IL-16 Actemra that Roche has for the treatment of patients who are already in hospital. So let's put those aside. That's treatment for folks who've been unfortunate enough to end up in hospital. Then to prevent going to hospital, obviously vaccines, but that's not a treatment, that's a preventative. And then you've got the antibodies, the monoclonal antibodies that have been developed by Eli Lilly, GlaxoSmithKline, AstraZeneca, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, some of which are already on the market, some of which haven't yet made it to market. Those have a very, very strong efficacy, better at least, although this has not been shown in head-to-head comparison, better based on what we know already than the molnupiravir drug from Merck. They have a very high efficacy in preventing disease evolution and hospitalizations, again, used in people who first report an infection. But they are harder to use because they need often a medical professional to deliver them. And a lot of them are intravenous. So an oral drug will fit very well and really completes the spectrum of therapies that we have.
Now, we are seeing countries clamor to purchase the drug even prior to any approval. You know, will issues of limited supply affect the access to antiretroviral drugs, similar to the problems with vaccines?
Well, Merck Pharmaceuticals have already done what would at least aim at solving that problem, in that they have licensed their, but it's not a technology, but their manufacturing process or the patents to other pharma, or allowing other pharmaceutical companies outside of the United States to manufacture these oral drugs. The process for doing them is a lot easier than vaccine manufacturing, especially for oral drugs rather than intravenous drugs, which don't need to be sterile. So that's already happened, and I suspect the other pharmaceutical companies will do the same thing. And in terms of manufacturing, Merck has already said that they intend to have 10 million courses. Let's not forget, this is 5 days of therapy with 8 pills a day. So it's not a walk in the park in terms of treating yourself with it. You need to take 40 pills over 5 days. But at least Merck has said that they will produce 10 million courses, which is quite a good number. And then we don't know how much these other people who have licensed the ability to manufacture it will be able to manufacture. But an oral drug will be easier to manufacture than a vaccine. So to a degree, I hope that that helps the inequity that perhaps we're seeing in the vaccine arena.
How is the treatment being priced at the moment? And what goes into determining the price of COVID-19 drugs?
Yeah, so the vaccines obviously are the absolute cheapest way of dealing with this. You know, a vaccine dose in the United States of two shots of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine around $40, two shots of the Moderna vaccine at around $60. Even if you need a third shot, you're not going to get to $100. And you don't need to go to a hospital, you don't need an IV unit or anything. Now, what we know from Merck is one piece of information. They did a deal with the United States where they are supplying 1.7 million courses for $1.2 billion. So that calculates to about $700 for a course of therapy for 5 days. Now, obviously, that's the United States. I fully expect that other countries will be cheaper. But one thing that we have to remember that here is that the drug is unlikely to be given at cost apart from the only poorest countries. But in any case, the maximum price that we have at the minute is about $700 a course. And I'm pretty sure they'll be cheaper in the developing countries.
Sam, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Sam Fazeli, Director of Research at Bloomberg Intelligence, giving us the lowdown on Merck's molnupiravir drug and what it does to stop the spread of COVID-19.
I think he made a very clear point. It does not replace vaccines. It does not replace vaccines. But a fun fact about this drug, it's basically named after Mjolnir, which is the hammer of the thunder god Thor in Norse mythology. So you can remember the name Shaoning. You know, just think of it as a Chris Hemsworth drug.
As beefy and buffy.
Exactly.
I don't know about that, but apparently the advice, and this is from the Wellcome Foundation director, they are like this UK-based company, healthcare foundation, and they also recommend that, you know, as soon as it's, let's say, been approved by the regulators, it should be accompanied by other treatments to cut the risk of drug resistance. I think the question is, we have come to learn that COVID-19 is a very humbling virus. It evolves very quickly. So the question is, will we then as humans develop resistance to all sorts of drugs if we have COVID-19 and the virus outsmarts us? So it cannot be just a one-way approach to overcoming whatever symptoms you might have if you unfortunately catch COVID-19. So I think it goes back to your point, Philip. You need to take that vaccine to avoid getting it in the first place. But it's good news that drug companies are looking at therapeutics, how to overcome symptoms, how to improve, the experience of COVID-19 and prevent deaths in the first place.
Yeah, and the important thing about molnupiravir is the fact that it's an oral drug. It comes in a pill, so it's a lot easier to administer. It helps to prevent hospitalization. So this can be given to people before they make it to hospital, you know, which is a good thing to have in your arsenal of drugs against COVID-19.
Yeah, which then goes back to the fact that you need to self-test all the time.
That is true.
Because if you don't know you have COVID-19, you can't take the drug, right? So I guess the future is really really about self-testing as regularly. Maybe one day it might be something we would do just daily. I mean, here at BFM, we're doing it twice a week. I think some offices are practicing once a week. But going ahead, if test kits come down in terms of price, maybe it might be just like a daily thing.
And to be fair, it's very easy to do. I mean, like when I did my test last night, 5 minutes, right? The results are out already. So it's not difficult to do the test, to be fair. And as you say, right, this virus will mutate. Even the vaccines have to evolve. Even Ugur Sahin, the CEO of BioNTech, says that they have to actually update their Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine middle of next year because they expect mutations to take place.
So we're going to see a lot of developments in the technology front in terms of COVID-19 and how we deal with it. I mean, in a way, I'm glad that we are in this era and we have this technology and we are able to respond in this way to pandemic diseases like COVID-19. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.